Text, Hallmark Channel presents. Title, The Good Witch. A hand removes a glass stopper from a bottle. A table is covered in glassware and assorted items, including a pile of shrubbery and a box labeled Iceland Moss. Opening credits roll. Catherine Bell. Chris Potter. Catherine Disher. Peter McNeil, Alan Royal. Matthew Knight. Paula Boudreau, Hannah Endicott Douglas. Pages of a book are covered in scripted writing, with recipes labeled Crone Candy and Miracle Grains. A hand runs a finger over the recipe for Queen of Hungary's water. The level of the gold scale gently rocks back and forth. Casting, Lisa Parrison, John Comerford. Music composed by Jack Lenz. Edited by George Ralston. A dark night sky over a downtown contemporary village. A police car pulls up. The car parks on the curb. The man inside looks around, then picks up his radio.
Derek, it's Jake. I'm parked at the corner of 3rd and Main. I'm going out on foot patrol.
I don't know, Jake. It's a pretty rough neighborhood. Lots of little old ladies who know how to swing a purse.
Very funny.
A cat pops onto the hood of Jake's car. Jake glances to an alley. The silhouette of a woman walks behind a building. Jake shines his flashlight, but the woman is gone. He opens the door and gets out, the lights on his car continuing to flash. He holds the flashlight as he creeps behind the building.
Hello? Hello?
A cat pops onto the ground in front of him, startling him. He continues glancing around.
Anybody there?
The light from the flashlight shines over a dumpster and some plants on the ground. He finds a man sleeping on the ground, covered in a blanket. He crouches.
Walter? Ah, Walter. Come on, what are you doing out here?
Oh, they kicked me out of the motel.
Well, you can't stay here, Walter.
What am I gonna do?
Come on.
Walter sits up. Jake continues shining the flashlight around.
You can stay in the jail tonight. And tomorrow you gotta find a place to live. You can't live in an alley.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks.
All right. Okay, come on. Can you get up?
Yeah.
Come on, put your arm on. Here. That's it.
Walter stands. Now, Jake's car approaches a house and parks. Inside, a man sits on the sofa reading.
George, what are you doing up?
Lori is having nightmares again. Stayed up to keep her company.
Again, huh?
I was hoping those were over. Children have nightmares.
Yeah, but not like this. It's been 3 years. Started when Jenny.
It's been hard on all of us. I miss my daughter too.
You know, I appreciate everything you've done, but I can get some help in here, give you a break.
Don't worry about me. Worry about your kids.
Only every day.
Jake pats his shoulder. In a bed, a young girl's eyes open. Jake opens the bedroom door.
Daddy?
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wake you.
Monsters are back.
Jake sighs.
Well, I promise we're going to do something about those monsters.
Can you sleep here? Please?
Okay, I'm going to check on Brandon, then I'll come back and sit with you for a while. And if those monsters come around, I'll arrest them.
You can't arrest monsters. Everybody knows that.
Lori smiles. Jake smiles, then turns away. In another room, a boy plays a video game. On screen are beefy soldiers in uniform.
Brandon, why aren't you in bed?
I'm not tired.
It's a school night. Turn off the computer, get to bed. Brandon.
Brandon sighs. He flips the computer closed and crawls on top of his bed.
Listen, I thought maybe Saturday we go down to the park and throw the ball around a bit. What do you think?
Brandon sighs and rolls away from Jake.
Whatever.
Okay, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Jake walks out. Elsewhere, daytime, Brandon runs a stick along an iron gate, surrounding a very old house. He pauses and turns around.
Come on, hurry up.
Lori approaches.
I'm tired.
What can you do? I'll trade you your dream monsters for a real one.
What do you mean?
Never mind.
Lori pauses and turns to look at the house, overgrown with moss draping over its porch columns. The curtain in one of the windows smuts.
The Gray Lady!
What?
I just saw the Gray Lady.
Where?
In the window up there.
Brandon squints at the same window, now motionless.
I didn't see anything.
She was there.
You're just imagining it. Just like you imagine all your other monsters.
It was her. The ghost of Gray House.
Whatever. Come on. We're gonna be late.
But I really did see her. Wait!
Lori jogs after Brandon. Elsewhere, a police car is parked outside of a stone building in the downtown village. A woman carrying a purse walks nearby. She pauses and notices Walter strolling into an alley. She sighs. Inside the police station, Jake approaches his desk.
Good morning, Derek.
What are you doing here so early?
My job.
Something going on?
No.
I didn't think so.
I'm heading out.
Cruising the streets of Middleton. That should take all of 10 minutes.
Well, I can't sit around here all day like you do. Well,
don't knock until you've tried it.
The woman with the purse walks up to the front door of the police station and enters. Derek sits up stiffly.
Hi, Martha.
Mrs. Tinsdale.
Chief Russell.
Martha, good morning. What can I do for you today?
I am astounded that you let that drunken Walter Cobb out of jail. I just saw him leave here and stumble down the street. Now, it's your responsibility to keep our streets safe.
Okay, I'll have a talk with him.
Oh, you need to do more than talk.
Anything else?
There's a rumor going around that someone is occupying Gray House.
Gray House? Who would want to live there?
Probably some little old lady with 15 cats.
Several members of the Citizens League have reported strange smells coming from the place.
Smells? What kind of smells?
Chemical smells, which makes me wonder if someone hasn't set up a drug lab.
A drug lab? In Middleton?
You need to check on it.
I will. I'll check on it right away.
Good. I'll meet you there.
No, you don't have to do that.
Chief Russell, as chairperson of the Citizens League, it is my responsibility to keep apprised of all developments in our community.
You're right. I'll see you there.
Martha walks off.
Nosy old bat. I think she wants to be mayor more than her husband.
More like emperor.
Brandon walks down a different sidewalk, dragging the stick along a chain-link fence. Lori walks several steps behind.
Come on, Lori.
A small dog runs at the fence, startling Lori. She begins panting. Brandon returns to her side.
Okay, come on.
Brandon holds her shoulder and helps her take off into a sprint, away from the dog. Now, Jake's car is parked outside the Gray House. He and Martha open the gate and walk up to it. Martha's eyes are wide.
I'm sure it's nothing, but just stay behind me.
Gladly.
Seems pretty quiet.
Mrs. Perkins saw a light switch off last night.
They walk up to the front patio of the house, built from gray stone. They pass the two front columns. Jake approaches the door.
Police department.
A beam of light shines through a slit in the door. Inside, the foyer is dark. Jake pushes the door open and steps in.
Hello? Hello?
The staircase leading up is carpeted. Sheets and curtains hang over the furniture.
Anybody back there?
A cat passes over Martha's feet. The lights come on. Jake looks up to the steps, where a woman now stands.
Welcome.
Your name, please.
The woman steps forward, grinning.
Cassandra Nightingale.
Do
you reside on these premises? I live here, if that's what you mean.
You own Gray House?
Gray House?
This residence.
Is that what you call it? Gray House? Yeah, I like the vibe.
This property is yours.
Well, that's what it says on the deed.
I didn't realize that anyone had moved in.
It's been empty for such a long, long time.
Ma'am, I'm very sorry for walking into your home.
Miss.
I'm Chief Russell of the Middleton Police Department. This is
Mrs. Martha Tinsdale. Nice to meet you.
So you'll be living here by yourself?
Oh, no. No, I have Isis. Isis? Isis is your cat? Not exactly. It's more of a mutual admiration society.
Yeah, yesterday downtown. Was that you that I saw walking into the alley?
Chief Russell, how would I know what you saw yesterday? Only you know what you saw yesterday. As the new owner, what are your plans for the property? Oh, I'm not a planner, Mrs. Tinsdale. Well, I assume demolition and then new construction. Oh, I think it has character. Character? I see the beauty beneath the surface. Miss Nightingale, this community has standards. I can sense that.
Martha.
Jake nods his head toward the door. Martha turns and walks out.
My apologies.
Jake follows Martha out, glancing behind at Cassandra. He closes the door. Cassandra grins. Brandon and Lori walk in a neighborhood.
I did see the Gray Lady this morning. You've got to believe me.
I believe you. Whatever.
No, you don't. You're just saying that.
Just drop it, will you?
They pass the chain link fence from earlier and look into the backyard, which is empty.
What happened to the dog?
Brandon glances around the yard and finds nothing. He turns to Lori. The dog runs up again. Lori and Brandon dash down the sidewalk. The dog chases them to the end of the fence, then paws at it. Then, it runs through a hole in the fence. The dog chases after Brandon and Lori as they run. Brandon and Lori pass a street sign and turn a corner. The dog continues running. Brandon and Lori enter a wooded grove and run over a stone patio with a stone path. They approach the iron gate from earlier and stop running, panting. Lori looks up at the gray house. The dog approaches.
Here he comes!
They enter the gate and run toward the house. Lori trips and falls. Brandon returns to help Lori as the dog passes the gate. Now, Cassandra stands, glowering at the dog. The dog stops running and sits, looking up expectantly. Lori and Brandon turn to see Cassandra, still staring at the dog, her dress and hair swaying. Cassandra steps down and approaches the dog.
Hey, listen. No, I know you're a good dog. It's your master that's the beast. Now, I want you to go home and stop scaring those children half to death. And I don't want to see that kind of behavior again. All right? Now go on. Go.
The dog turns and runs off.
How did you do that?
Oh, I've always had a way with the fur people. I'm Cassie. Cassie Nightingale.
I'm Brandon. This is Lori.
You two all right?
Cassie notices a scrape on Lori's knee.
Well, we better put something on that. Why don't you come inside?
Brandon and Lori look up at the gray house, their eyes wide.
You live here?
That's right.
But this is Gray House. Don't you know it's haunted?
So I hear. But surely you two brave children aren't afraid of some little old ghost.
Cassie steps ahead. Lori turns to Brandon.
Told you I saw someone.
They look up at the house again and step forward into the house. Now, inside the foyer are several boxes on the floor.
Well, you'll have to excuse the mess. I haven't had time to do much cleaning. Come on.
Cassie steps inside. Brandon and Lori look around at the staircase and ahead at the lamp on a table, covered in a sheet.
Why don't you sit down?
Cassie escorts them into the kitchen. The table is covered in mason jars full of powders and a fruit basket. On the stove, an iron pot is bubbling. Brandon notices a clown mask in a box. Lori sits in a chair opposite Cassie.
What did you whisper to that dog?
I told him it was very bad manners to eat children.
Lori smiles, then looks up at Brandon. Cassie opens a small jar.
These are special healing herbs, my own recipe. It'll fix you up in no time.
Brandon furrows his brow as Cassie places the herbs on Lori's knee, then a bandage.
There you go. Good as new. They smell like jasmine.
It's my mother's perfume.
Well, I can see why she likes it.
Cassie smiles.
Do you like some gingerbread?
Gingerbread?
Fresh out of the oven.
A cupboard door opens, and a broom falls over. Isis dashes out.
Isis, calm down. That big dog went home.
Cassie holds a plate.
There you go.
Viva, gotta be going. Thanks for your help.
Okay. Come back and visit anytime.
Brandon and Lori dash out of the front door. They take off in a run. Cassie sighs. In the alley, a large cardboard box opens. Walter sits inside. Cassie stands nearby.
Good afternoon. Black with sugar. Did I guess right?
Yeah, thanks.
And I hope you like turkey.
Why are you doing this?
You look like you skipped breakfast.
I don't need your help, lady.
No, but I need your help. Can't move boxes on an empty stomach. Let me know when you're ready.
Cassie walks off and enters the side of a shop. At home, Jake steps out of his house, dressed in uniform. A man leads the dog from earlier up to Jake.
Hey, Jake! Wait a minute.
Hey, Rusty.
Jake, look. Just look at him. He's ruined.
What? Tell her what's wrong with him.
He don't bark. He won't growl no more. He just sits there with his nose under his paws.
It's a bad thing?
She did this.
Who?
That witchy woman over in Gray House. She did something to my boy.
Miss Nightingale?
She did something unnatural.
Oh, come on. You can't be serious.
I'm dead serious, and I want to file a complaint.
Okay, I'll look into it.
You just watch your back, or that witch will take the bark out of you, too.
Rusty walks off with Attila. Jake wipes his eyes, then walks toward his car. Lori and Brandon walk holding backpacks. Other kids walk nearby.
She's a witch.
Witches don't exist.
But she can do magic.
Magic doesn't exist either.
Maybe she's the Gray Lady.
Lori, you're driving me crazy. Why don't you just leave me alone, okay?
Lori walks off sadly.
Lori.
Lori turns back. Brandon sighs and follows. As Brandon tries to catch up, a bigger boy appears in his way.
Not so fast. Where is he? I don't have any money today. My grandpa packed my lunch.
Let me see.
Brandon hands the boy his backpack. The boy takes out a sandwich.
I guess I'll just have to take this instead. Tomorrow, tell your grandpa you want money instead of this crap. If you don't, you're not the only one who's going to get hurt.
What do you mean?
It'd be a shame if anything happened to your little sister.
You leave her alone!
The boy throws Brandon to the ground. Brandon turns, scowling. He begins to brush himself off and stands. Elsewhere, George sits outside the Russell house as Brandon approaches.
Grandpa.
Hey, Brandon.
You used to box, right?
A long, long time ago.
Can you teach me how to fight?
What do you want to learn how to do that for?
Well, I just want to be able to take care of myself.
Well, I wouldn't make much of a sparring partner. Why don't you ask your father?
Brandon shrugs.
Something wrong?
Just forget about it.
Brandon steps inside. Elsewhere, Cassie opens her front door. Jake stands on the patio in uniform.
Chief Russell.
Hello again.
Did you come to deliver those community standards?
Oh, you have to understand, Mrs. Tinsdale, she tends to get a little passionate about things.
Passion is good. Come on in.
Jake steps inside and closes the door behind him. They enter a sitting room filled with boxes.
Watch the boxes. Would you like some herb tea? It's my own special blend.
Jake pauses, noticing a portrait in oil on the wall.
Who's that?
Ah, the infamous gray lady. She was here when I arrived.
She looks like you.
Do I look that cracked and faded?
Listen, the reason I'm here is about this disturbance with the Doberman.
Oh, that. Well, don't blame the dog. I mean, he's just unhappy being chained up all day.
Well, no one's blaming the dog. The owner's blaming you. He's thinking of pressing charges. Rusty, the owner, claims that you changed his dog somehow.
Well, yeah, I did.
Oh.
Well, I had a talk with him.
Well, you talked with Rusty?
No, with the dog.
What exactly did you say?
Well, I told him he was a good dog and that his master was a beast. But of course, I didn't want the children to hear, so I whispered.
The children?
Yeah, the dog got loose and chased them into my yard.
Okay, so Attila was on your property.
That's right.
Okay, Rusty didn't tell me that.
The little girl, Lori, scraped her knee, so I treated
her. Lori? Did she have a brother named Brandon?
You know him?
Yeah, I know them. They're my kids. They didn't tell me about this.
Well, they probably didn't want it on their police record. I'm sure they told their mom.
No. No, their mom died 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry. They're wonderful kids.
I know. Thanks.
Would you like that tea now? Or coffee, because I know that cops drink coffee and donuts.
Dozens of them.
Yeah.
We also wear those big dark glasses, so nobody knows what we're thinking.
Cassie smiles. Jake smiles back.
Oh, maybe some other time.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sure.
Jake walks toward the door. Now, outside.
Drop by anytime, neighbor. Or come see my new shop.
Shop?
Yeah, I'm opening a small shop on 3rd and Main.
When?
What's today?
Tuesday.
Week from tomorrow. My ad's in the paper.
Well, you're taking on a lot.
I like a challenge.
Well?
I'll see you later, Chief Russell.
Jake. Call me Jake. Everybody calls me Jake.
Well, then I guess it's lucky that's your name.
Jake struggles to lift the latch on the iron gate. A hand appears on top of his. He turns stiffly. Cassie is now standing right behind him. She removes his hand from the latch and opens the gate easily.
What's the trick?
No trick.
Bye.
Jake approaches his car and enters the driver's seat. Cassie grins, watching. Nighttime at the Russell house. Jake enters Brandon's room. Brandon sits facing his laptop. Jake kneels beside Brandon.
How's it going?
On screen, an armored soldier knocks a man down.
Intense. Almost as intense as being chased by a dog over at Gray House.
Brandon looks up.
Would you want to tell me about that?
Not really.
So I hear you want to learn how to fight.
It's nothing.
Jake nods.
Somebody bothering you?
Just forget about it.
If you got a problem with somebody, you know, you can talk to me about it.
Brandon looks up at Jake. Brandon looks away.
Okay, well, when you're ready to talk, then I'm here for you, okay?
Jake pats him on the shoulder, then walks out. Brandon watches Jake leave, pondering. Now, Brandon walks down the sidewalk approaching the school. He glances around the area nervously. The bigger boy appears from behind.
Trying to hide from me, dweeb?
Hand it over.
Brandon stands stiffly. He reaches into his pocket and hands over money.
This all of it? It's everything. Good. See you tomorrow, you little creep.
The boy brushes by Brandon's shoulder as he passes. Brandon watches, glaring at the boy, then walks off. Now, daytime, Jake's cop car drives down the street. It passes the village shops. He slows down, passing a new aid shop.
Bell, book, candle.
He gets out, wearing his uniform, and puts on his cap. He steps up to the bell, book, and candle's front door and enters. Inside, Cassie is standing behind the counter. The shelves are filled with small jars, trinkets of jewelry, and other odds and ends.
Jake, good morning.
Look at this place. This was vacant, it was boarded up.
Yeah, I've been working on the inside since I got here.
But still.
Well, if you make up your mind you want something, all the obstacles seem to vanish.
Got a lot of interesting things.
Now all I need are customers.
Herbs?
Oh, they're all perfectly legal, officer.
You're not under investigation.
He notices the masks.
I like the masks.
Thanks, they're from my travels.
Travel a lot?
Life's a journey, not a destination.
I travel a lot. I mean, my parents moved around a lot. I'm an army brat. So I swore when I get married, I'm gonna stay in one place just for the kids.
It's not every dad that gives his daughter a big hug before he leaves for work.
Did she tell you that?
No, Jasmine. Your daughter loves to pour it on.
Oh, man, I can't even smell it.
Oh, really? Oh, it's a beautiful scent.
It's my wife's favorite.
Y'all must miss her very much. Here.
Cassie pulls out a vial.
Take a whiff of this.
Whoa. That'll clear your sinuses.
Yeah, it'll do a lot more than that.
Cassie hands him the vial.
How much?
$5. Satisfaction guaranteed.
It's a bargain.
No, my first customer.
Thanks. Well, good luck with the shop, Miss Nightingale.
Cassie.
Cassie.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie.
Jake steps out of the shop. Cassie smiles. Martha walks up to Gray House, leading a small group of people.
And on your left is Gray House, so named because its original owner, Elizabeth Merriwick, was fond of wearing gray. Now, as you can see, the house has suffered from decades of neglect. Another example of Middleton's motto, looking to the future, building on the past. Well, moving right along.
Oh, maybe they'd like to hear the legend of the Gray Lady.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just a local legend, popular with school children and the deluded. Apparently, she married some sailor who hoisted anchor and then left her to languish and perish nearly a century ago. It's a depressing story.
His name was Captain Charles Hamlin, splendid in his naval uniform. It was love at first sight. They spent 2 passionate months together, till he was called to duty, never to return. But every night for 28 years, Elizabeth kept a light burning in the window. Until one night, the light went out. And Elizabeth was found dead of a broken heart.
Anyway, that's one version. Hello, Mrs. Tinsdale. And hi, everyone. I'm Cassie Nightingale, owner of Gray House.
Oh, would you like to come inside for a tour?
We're on a very tight schedule.
Well, the invitation's open anytime. And if you'd like, you can stop by my new shop on Main, the Bell Book and Candle.
New shop? What do you sell?
Infinite possibilities.
And moving right along.
Come along, ladies.
Thank you. That was wonderful.
Nancy?
Lori watches the group leave from behind a tree. Cassie appears behind Lori.
Hello, Lori. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you.
I'm not scared.
How's your knee doing?
It's all better.
Dog's not bothering you anymore, is he?
No. Can you...
Can I what?
Can you do something about monsters?
Are monsters bothering you, Lori?
Can you make them go away? Like you made the dog go away?
When are they bothering you?
At night.
I see. Monsters are a bit trickier than dogs. They really can't hurt you, but they make you think they can. I have something inside that might help.
They walk toward the front door holding hands. Inside, Cassie holds up a small object with a web of rope.
Do you know what this is? It's called a dream catcher. This is a special one blessed by a Lakota shaman. The webbing catches bad dreams before they reach you, letting good dreams pass through and trickle down the feathers. You need to hang this over your bed. Maybe your father can help you do it.
My grandpa will do it.
Your grandpa?
He helps take care of us. He's lived with us since.
Well, after you put this over your bed, I need you to do something very important.
They sit outside in wicker chairs.
You mustn't, under any circumstances, dream of bunnies tonight.
Bunnies?
That's right. I can't emphasize this enough. You must not dream about soft, furry, cute little bunny rabbits.
But how can I not dream about bunnies? I can't control my dreams.
Just say to yourself over and over, I will not dream of bunnies. I will not dream of bunnies. Bunnies, stay away.
I will not dream of bunnies.
That's it.
I will not dream of bunnies.
Now you're getting it. Just keep saying that.
I will not dream of bunnies. I will not dream of bunnies.
Lori smiles. Elsewhere, cars pass outside the police station. Inside, Jake works at his desk. Cassie enters with a plate.
Cassie!
Jake! Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for helping with the dog.
Oh, what's this?
They are almond cookies dipped in milk chocolate. They're called Harvest Moons.
Hi, I'm Derek Sanders. I'm the other half of the Middleton Police Force.
Hello, Derek. Cassie Nightingale. Cookie?
Derek takes a bite, nodding.
Sweet.
An old family recipe. Mm. Always cooking up something.
So how's the shop?
Still slow. Even with the ad. Well, I should probably get going, because you never know when a busload of cosmic seekers might stop by town.
Well, give it time. People just need to get to know you.
Yeah, and I want to get to know them. Enjoy.
Cassie hands Derek the plate.
Cassie, you didn't have to bake cookies. Oh, I was more than happy to clear up that little disagreement with the dog. What is with this door?
Cassie removes his hand and turns the doorknob, opening it easily. Her hair sways.
You have a magic touch.
Depends what I'm trying to open. Take some of those home for your kids, huh?
Yeah, I'll hide these from Derek until I'm off duty.
Don't wait too long. Best when they're warm.
Cassie walks off. Jake watches through the window of the door.
That's the witch I've been hearing about?
She's different.
She's different, all right.
Derek smiles and reaches for another cookie. Jake pulls the plate away. On the village street, a display of wicker baskets sits outside the bell, book, and candle. A woman from the earlier tour peeks her head through the window and enters.
Hi. Hello. Can I help you find something?
I'm just looking, thank you.
Oh, you were with the group.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Nancy. Nancy Perkins.
Cassie Nightingale.
Hi. I work just a few doors down at the travel agency.
Oh, pleasure to meet you. Who are those ladies, anyway?
Business people, mostly from out of town.
Like me.
Nancy smells a vial.
Martha has a vision for Middleton. The town's been struggling ever since the plant closed.
So she's a visionary.
These are wonderful.
Essential oils and flower essences. I'm very much into aromatherapy.
Huh. This one smells like cinnamon buns?
Yeah, that's an aphrodisiac. It's my own little mixture.
You're joking.
Oh, no. Now you put a few drops in your husband's collar before dinner time, and by dessert, he's primed and ready to go, shall we say.
Does it really work?
Why don't you give it a shot? If it doesn't, give you your money back.
Oh, no. I don't need it.
Well, I'm not suggesting you do. Just consider it a fun little experiment.
Oh, okay.
Great. It's $5.
Thank you.
Now, to get the full effect, you should put a few drops into some candles and have them burning at the dinner table. Do you have children?
No, we tried, but...
Oh, well, then you won't have to worry about sending them off to grandma's. Let me know how things turn out.
I will. Thank you.
Nancy smiles and walks toward the door as Martha enters.
Martha!
Afternoon, Nancy. What have we here?
Little something for my home.
Cassie grins.
Mrs. Tinsdale, please, come on in. Excuse me.
Nancy walks out. Martha glances around the shop.
I was just hearing about your revitalization plans.
Middleton's a special place, and it attracts a special sort of person.
Well, thank you. I love it here.
This town has a gracious kind of beauty, and we work very, very hard to keep it that way. We hold tight to our traditions here in Middleton.
Sometimes if you hold on too tight to what you have, you end up choking it.
Martha notices some necklaces.
Is there something in particular you're looking for?
What are these?
Oh, Celtic symbols from the old world. Very fashionable.
They look like symbols used in witchcraft. I don't like what I see here, Miss Nightingale.
It's a magnet. You touch it to your forehead. It aligns your polarities, clarifies your vision.
I have an optometrist, Miss Nightingale.
Cassie pulls down a mask with wings extending from the eyes.
Now this is said to bring inner peace.
Martha trips on the table and falls over.
Oh, Mrs. Tinsdale, are you all right?
Let go of me. I have had it up to here with your masks.
Martha turns and hurries out of the shop, clutching her chest. Cassie sighs. Nighttime. At home, Jake puts the cookies on the counter.
Oh, what brings you home so early?
Cookies.
Nice. Hey.
Brandon enters and takes a cookie.
Go ahead. Take two.
Brandon walks out. Lori dashes in.
Daddy!
Hi, honey.
Jake lifts Lori, hugging her.
Cookies, can I have one?
You just brushed your teeth.
No, go ahead. But brush them again after. And you should go to O'Malley's tonight. Come on, you used to love to go down there and sing the old songs.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to head to bed.
You feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just a little tired. I'll see you in the morning.
Later, Jake sits at Lori's bedside.
I will not dream of bunnies.
What?
I will not dream of bunnies.
Okay.
Jake indicates the dream catcher.
Where did you get this?
Cassie gave it to me. It's a dream catcher. It catches the bad dreams and only lets the good dreams get through.
When did you see Miss Nightingale?
Today. I went over to the Gray House all by myself. She's really nice, Daddy.
Honey, you shouldn't bother her. She's got things to do. Okay. Good night.
Good night, Daddy.
He kisses Lori's cheek and stands. The lights go out in the room. Jake closes the door.
I will not dream of bunnies.
Jake walks past Brandon's room. Inside, Brandon is staring at the computer game with the armored soldiers. Jake approaches his front door.
Martha!
Why aren't you on duty?
We changed the schedule.
Well, I visited her little shop of horrors today, and when I politely suggested that some of her merchandise might not be appropriate for Middleton, she pushed me over a display.
You can't be serious.
I want you to arrest Cassie Nightingale.
Jake sighs. Now, in the Gray House foyer, Walter opens the front door.
Walter?
Jake,
what are you doing here?
Mr. Cobb used to build houses. He knows wiring, plumbing, woodwork. He knows it all. He's helping me fix the place up.
Well, fair exchange for food and a place to stay.
Night, folks.
He's a godsend. Of course, I believe the right people always show up when you need them most.
I didn't recognize him.
Well, I almost didn't recognize you without your gun and badge.
I'm afraid this isn't a social call.
Oh?
Cassie, was there an incident today at your shop with Mrs. Tinsdale?
She did take a tumble over one of my displays. She's all right.
Well, it depends on your definition of all right. She wants to file assault charges.
Assault?
Yes.
Cassie and Jake in her lounge.
Cassie, Martha's the mayor's wife. You know, she could cause real trouble for you.
So what should I do?
Well, you might have to come down to the station and make a statement. You might. Until then, try not to worry.
Tell me some good news, then.
I got home early tonight. With the cookies.
Yeah, what'd they think?
Lori was very happy. She liked the cookies, too.
Jake indicates a wine bottle.
I'd hide that wine with Walter around.
Oh, I'm not worried about Walter.
You are very trusting.
I'll take that as a compliment.
They gaze at each other. Daytime in the neighborhood. Jake and Brandon sit on their back porch with a plate of pancakes. George approaches.
Oh, you need any help?
No, I got it.
George sits.
Looks good.
Lori steps out.
Morning, Dad.
Hey, honey. How'd you sleep last night? I didn't hear a sound.
What? What's the matter?
I dreamed about bunnies all night long.
Bunnies?
You were everywhere.
Not monsters?
There were no monsters.
So that's good, right?
She did it. She really did it. She made the monsters go away.
You mean that dream catcher thingy really works?
It's true. She's a witch. A real live witch.
A witch?
But she's a good witch.
Jake hugs Lori.
Okay. You get ready for school.
No more monsters!
Lori skips inside.
You know this, woman, our new neighbor down the street?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon ponders. Now, Brandon rides his bike down the village sidewalk. He parks the bike and leans it against a tree, then removes his helmet. He looks up at the show beside, the bell, book, and candle. His brow furrows as he steps inside. He looks around at the items on the shelves. Smoke billows from a square column nearby. He glances up at the masks. Cassie stands behind the desk.
Hey, Brandon. How can I help you?
You got rid of Lori's monsters.
Oh, I'm glad to hear they're gone, but Lori got rid of them by herself.
But you can do magic, right?
Well, everybody can do magic, Brandon.
I need something big.
Like what?
I need someone turned into a frog.
Permanently?
At least till the end of the school year.
Well, how about a goat instead? See, contrary to popular belief, it's hard to shrink someone down to the size of a frog.
You can hardly do that.
Who is this person, anyway?
His name's Kyle. He's a bully.
You told anyone?
No. Warned me not to.
I see. So then, this goat frog thing is flexible as long as he's turned into something less threatening.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's not gonna be easy. I'm gonna need your help.
My help?
In order for this to work, I need you to do four things. First, you must keep this crystal with you.
She hands Brandon a rock from the smoking counter.
Second, go to Kyle's home and remain there for at least 5 minutes. Third, you have to introduce Kyle to your father. And finally, Kyle must touch this crystal, and you need to return it to me.
What? How am I supposed to do all that?
I don't know. I don't make the rules. I realize it's gonna take some courage.
Brandon grips the rock tightly.
Okay. I'll try.
I'll be waiting for the crystal.
Brandon turns and walks out of the shop. Cassie smiles. At the police station, a man in a suit approaches Jake's desk. Jake stands.
Mr. Mayor, I was just about to call you.
Can you charge her?
Mr. Mayor, there's not enough evidence to support Martha's allegation. It's her word against Miss Nightingale's.
Martha's not going to be too happy to hear this. And when Martha's not happy, I'm not happy.
Well, I can't change the facts.
I want you to find out everything you can about this Cassandra Nightingale. The ownership of Gray House has always been murky. Now that developers are interested in the property, she arrives one day, out of the blue, with the deed. You don't find that a little suspicious?
It's unusual.
Jake, this is a critical time for this town. We want Middleton to appeal to new investors. Solid business people who pay taxes. Taxes to help us meet the city payroll. Which includes your salary.
Mr. Mayor?
No. All I'm asking is that you do a little digging. Aren't you a little curious about her? I am.
The mayor turns and walks out. Jake shakes his head. In the woods, Kyle walks among the trees wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt. Brandon walks several paces back, unseen. He creeps up behind Kyle. Brandon stands behind a tree as he watches Kyle approach a shack in the woods. Brandon takes out the rock and holds it. An adult exits the trailer and approaches Kyle.
You got any money?
No.
Yeah, don't lie to me, boy.
I don't have any.
Yeah, well, check your pockets. Come on, empty your pockets.
The man pushes Kyle out of the way and gets into a truck. The truck pulls away. Kyle looks after the truck sadly. He turns his head. He looks up, noticing Brandon.
What are you doing here, punk? You followed me home? You're so dead.
I don't want to fight.
Go on, you can throw the first punch. What's the matter? Scared? Scared, little chicken?
I'm not gonna fight you.
Then why are you here?
I just thought maybe we could hang out for a while.
What?
Yeah, maybe go inside and play some video games or something.
You think I want to hang out with a loser like you? Get lost.
What did I ever do to you?
You think my dad ever gave me lunch money? Not once. Spends all his money on booze.
Well, what about your mom?
She ran off when I was six.
Why don't we... We could go to my house.
What?
I've got video games. Some cool ones.
You're either the stupidest dweeb I've ever met, or you've got some guts after all.
Brandon smiles. At the police station, Derek looks at a computer screen with several arrest records.
Jake, the background check on Miss Nightingale.
What'd you find?
I've searched every possible database, and apparently this woman doesn't exist.
Local police, state... FBI?
And Interpol. Not even a parking ticket. Birth records, military records, nothing.
Well, she has a deed to the house.
She claims it was given to her.
By who? There's got to be something.
Well, I did find a Cass Nightingale. She was New Zealand's top female bodybuilder in 1987.
No, don't think so.
Okay, Jake, the only thing that we know for sure is that Cassandra Nightingale's name is not Cassandra Nightingale.
What about the ad she ran? There's a very good picture of her.
Jake hands him a newspaper.
This paper's from 2 weeks ago.
So? She still looks the same.
I mean, since when did you ever keep a newspaper past noon?
Just scan the photo. Run it against missing persons database.
Oh, look, I got a better idea. Why don't you go over there and talk to her?
Jake ponders. At home, Kyle and Brandon play a basketball video game in the living room.
Gotcha.
Jake enters in uniform.
Yes.
Hey, Brenda.
Hey, Dad. Oh, this is Kyle. He's someone I know from school.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey. Is it all right if he stays for supper?
Yeah, sure. I should call his parents.
No. I'll call.
Okay. Might be better if I do.
No, he doesn't like us giving out a number. I'll take care of it.
Okay. Hey, why don't I order a pizza?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Right.
Jake walks out.
You know what? You've got a cool dad.
Brandon ponders. Later, Kyle and Brandon eat pepperoni pizza in the kitchen. Jake enters in sweats.
Well, how's the pizza, boys?
Pretty good. Thanks, Dad.
Good. Can I talk to you for a sec?
Oh, sure.
Jake walks into another room with Brandon.
Is something going on with Kyle?
What, do you know his parents?
Okay, well, it's nothing.
I think Kyle's dad's mean to him.
Mean to him how?
Kyle, he doesn't have a mother either. And his dad, he's always screaming at him. He never gives him anything to eat. I think he even hurts him.
Jake ponders.
Would he be willing to talk to me?
Dad, I don't know. I'll try and convince him.
Okay. And I'll do something about it. I promise.
Thanks, Dad.
Right.
Oh, can you tell Cassie you met Kyle?
Why?
She said you needed to meet him.
Brandon smiles and walks into the kitchen. Jake and George look at each other. Nancy enters the bell, book, and candle happily.
Nancy! Well, you look positively glowing.
Do you have any more of that oil?
You can't be out already.
No, I want to make sure I have plenty on hand.
Well, yeah, the oil may help a little, but don't downplay your role in it.
It is like a second honeymoon, and it is so much better than the first.
Just promise me you'll give the poor man a break every now and then.
Oh, he's enjoying it, too.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Thank you. Oh, excuse me.
Jake enters, passing Nancy.
Jake.
Hi. Martha dropped the charges. She had no case.
Oh, well, that's great news, isn't it? Thank you, Jake. You're a miracle worker.
I think you're the one working miracles. I had a talk with Brandon last night. I think you had something to do with that.
I plead the fifth. I know my rights.
And Lori is sleeping like little girls should.
That's great news.
Who are you?
What do you mean?
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from all over. How far back do you want to go?
Were you born October 24th,
19... Jake, you don't ask a lady questions like that.
Cassie and Jake walk out of the store.
Your name's not Cassandra Nightingale, is it?
Cassie's face fall.
It is my name.
You're so good at getting everyone else to open up. Why can't you?
My parents were performers. Traveled all over Europe. It was a magical time. But
why?
They died in a car crash outside Zurich. And I was sent to a foster family back in the U.S.
It must have been hard.
So strict, they killed the magic. So I ran away, and I made sure that no one would ever find me again.
And you've been running ever since?
Not running. Experiencing new places.
Like Middleton? Hey. If you like new places, there's this French restaurant. It's on Route 20. And, no, you've been to Europe. You probably think this is...
Terrific.
Yeah? Friday? 7?
I get 7:20.
7:20?
Yeah, that way I'll pretend it's 7 and I'll be there on time.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Bye. I mean, see you then.
Jake walks off. Cassie turns to a shop window and looks at her reflection.
I will not dream of Jake Russell.
Cassie grins, then returns toward the shop. Martha addresses a boardroom full of people.
She is scaring away every last hope this community has of attracting investors. Her black magic shop is a dagger through the heart of our lovely business district.
Now, if the police won't do anything about it, then we as citizens must take action.
Martha, don't you think you're judging Miss Nightingale just a little harshly?
These are the dark arts that she's practicing and selling right under our noses. You know, Nancy, perhaps you could better understand the gravity of the situation if you too had children to protect. Oh. My own two sons, Dylan and Michael, tell me that at school they call her the witch woman.
Oh,
and for very good reason.
That's true.
She makes strange potions. She converses with animals, and she has that drunken Walter Cobb living under the same roof with her. Now, is this really the sort of thing that we want here in Middleton?
No.
Absolutely not. I don't.
Good. Then let's show her exactly how we feel.
She glances her two sons in the corner, smiling. Elsewhere, George walks on the village sidewalk. He approaches Cassie, who is holding a straw sweeper.
Oh, can I help you?
I just wanted to meet the lady who's the talk of my household. I'm George O'Hanrahan. Maureen and Brendan's grandfather.
Oh, Grandpa, it's so nice to meet you. I'm Cassie Nightingale.
I know who you are.
Oh, George, don't believe everything you hear.
The Bell Book and Candle. Interesting.
I think I have something inside that you might like.
Oh?
She holds up a necklace.
A shamrock from the Emerald Isle.
Now, how did you know I'm from the old sod? Was it the name O'Hanrahan or my devilish good looks?
Oh, just a lucky guess.
My grandfather was County Clareman. He lived a stone's throw from the Cliffs of Moher. I always wanted to stand on those cliffs.
Oh, why don't you?
Go back to Ireland. Oh, at first we couldn't afford it. Then my little girl Jenny came along, and then we really couldn't afford it. And then, there's always a sensible reason.
Oh, George, never do the sensible thing.
Getting old.
Hey, sure beats the alternative. Now do yourself a favor. Hide this away. Bring it out again when there's a full moon.
A full moon?
Yes, that's the time to reconsider your impossible dream.
How much for that?
Oh, no, it's a gift.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
Just promise me you'll do it.
George exits the shop. Cassie smiles. George strolls the sidewalk outside.
Important city council meeting? Please, come voice your concerns at the meeting.
A woman hands George a flyer.
Important city council meeting in 2 weeks, sir. Please, come voice your concerns.
Bell Book and Candle is a black magic store. Must be closed down.
Come voice your concerns at the meeting.
Have you seen this?
At the station, George holds the flyer in front of Jake.
You're not going to let the old biddies on the Citizens Committee do this to Miss Nightingale, are you? Are you? She doesn't deserve this.
So you've fallen for her spell, too?
Nothing of the sort.
About dinner.
Beef stew and cabbage.
Actually, I've got a...
Working again, huh?
No. I've got a casual dinner thing. Just to thank Miss Nightingale for all she's done. What do you think about that?
Jake looks up at George. He smiles whitely.
I think it's a grand idea.
Outside Cassie's shop, Martha sits at a table on the sidewalk.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Excuse me, madam, may I have a moment of your time? Sign the petition. Stop the Bell Book and Candle. Voice your concerns with City Council on November the 1st.
I'll think about it.
Oh, well, thank you for your time.
Jake's car approaches. Martha's eyes wide. She stands, approaching her sons behind her.
Martha, what are you doing?
Exercising my rights as a citizen.
What about her rights?
Well, clearly you won't do anything, so you leave me no choice.
What do you hope to accomplish?
Article 237 of the city ordinance states, and I quote, if said business is shown to not be in the best interest of the community, its license can be revoked.
Hmm. And who decides that?
Well, the concerned citizens of Middleton. Clearly, you're not one of them, so kindly step aside.
Martha, you're obstructing the sidewalk and the entrance to that store.
Go ahead. Arrest me.
Oh. Our campaign could use the free publicity. Help! Police brutality!
Jake shakes his head and enters the bell, book, and candle.
Oh.
Why didn't you call?
Well, there's nothing you can do. Not this time.
Mrs. Tinsdale is a royal pain.
Middleton's a lovely place, but I wonder if it's the right place for me, or if the community doesn't want me.
Oh, the Citizens League is not the community.
Several people have stopped to sign her petition.
Which people? You can't let these busybodies run you out of town.
They have their reasons for wanting me to go. So I wonder, do I have a good reason to stay?
Well, there's your home, your business, all the work you've done. Can't leave now.
About tonight, I think we should cancel. You're the chief of police. Can't appear to be taking sides.
I'm a citizen, too.
Who works for the mayor. I don't want you losing your job over a thank you dinner. Besides, you've already said thank you to me many times.
Cassie.
Okay, I'm gonna close up early. Okay.
Cassie leads him to the door.
Say hi to the kids.
Jake steps outside. Cassie sighs, closing the door.
Trust me.
Jake watches Martha continue to solicit signatures.
Close the bell for the candle. Sign our petition. Make your views known to city council. Come over here right now. We need you to sign this. As a parent, you must know how important this is. Hello? Have you signed our petition? Please sign our petition.
Cassie watches sadly as Jake drives away. At home, Jake walks upstairs, still wearing his uniform. Brandon steps out of his bedroom.
Dad?
Hey, Brandon.
Kyle wasn't in school today. I'm kind of worried that something's happening.
He's going to be fine. He's with his grandmother in Newton.
Is he going to be okay?
He's going to be all right. You did the right thing telling me.
Thanks for helping him, Dad.
Sure.
Brandon hugs Jake, startling him. Jake relaxes and smiles, clutching him tighter. Jake finds the rock in Brandon's shirt.
Hey. What is this?
Oh, Cassie gave it to me.
Jake hands it back to Brandon, who smiles. Jake smiles. In the kitchen, George pours coffee. Jake enters.
Cyrus Eyes.
And this old Irish song going through my head, it's driving me nuts. I don't know how to stop it.
Well, why don't you try listening to some different music?
George switches on a speaker.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
George switches the speaker off. Jake takes a mug of coffee and sits at the table.
Shouldn't you be getting ready? Don't you have a dinner date?
Oh, change of plans.
But you're still going to see her.
I don't think so.
Look, Jake, it's time you moved on with your life. It's time we all did.
Well, I just think with everything that's going on in the community, it's just not...
Stop making excuses. And there's a full moon overhead. Caiad mi Celtic. Caiad mi Celtic. Walk in a Celtic way.
What does that mean?
Sometimes you really get my Irish up. You know that?
George storms off. Nighttime at the Gray house. Jake stands on the porch, fidgeting. Cassie approaches, wearing a cocktail dress, and opens the door.
You still want to go for dinner?
Well, I thought we decided...
You know, I decided that I don't care what people think.
Well, in that case, won't you come in?
Jake steps inside.
I think I have the perfect solution. Why don't we dine in?
Well, I don't want you to have to cook.
Oh, no, I love to cook. Haven't you noticed? I'm always cooking.
In the dining room, the table is already set, with two plates and a bottle of wine. There are two candles glowing in the center.
Look at this. Well, you really treat Walter well.
No, Walter's out for the evening.
Oh.
Well, I was hoping you might stop by.
How could you know?
Sometimes you just have to believe and take a chance. You ready to take a chance, Jake?
I think I already have.
He smiles.
Why don't you open the wine, and I will get the first course.
She pats his shoulder and steps out of the room. Now, Jake sips from a glass of red wine as Cassie takes a bite of food.
Sue Ellen Brock.
What?
You want to know my name, the one my parents gave me.
Oh. So do you want me to call you Sue?
No.
Good. No, you seem more like a Cassandra to me. Definitely a nightingale. You like to be a mystery, don't you?
Little mystery keeps things interesting.
I'm interested. I know a few facts, but I don't know you that well. I'd like to.
Oh, no, it's your turn. Tell me something about you that I don't know.
Okay, let's see. When I was 13, I broke into the bell tower and I replaced the cassette. And at noon, when chimes were supposed to play, the whole town heard my tape of Led Zeppelin's Whole Lot of Love.
Ooh, I'm telling the police.
And after a life of crime, running on the lam, I decided I gotta clean up my act. That's when I decided to bring Jenny and the kids here. That was the plan. The plans change. So how did you get here?
Cassie indicates the painting.
She brought me here. Jake, I'm the great-great-granddaughter and sole surviving heir of Elizabeth Merriwick, the Gray Lady. What's left of her family's finally come home.
Through the Gray Lady.
They clink glasses and sip.
When I found out I had property here in Middleton, I took it as a sign to come here and settle down.
And since you got here, you've had nothing but trouble.
Well, no, that's not all true.
Well, Cassie, the city council meeting's the day after Halloween. It's really blowing up to be a storm.
Oh, but I love storms.
Somehow, that doesn't surprise me.
All right, no more about that. Not tonight.
In the lounge, the walls are painted crimson, and there's a fire in the fireplace.
Your perfume's nice.
You noticed.
I like it.
They recline on the sofa, side by side.
It worked. You always seem to give people exactly what they need. What do you need?
What do I need? A home?
You have a home.
A home is more than a house, Jake. I just want a place where people will accept me as I am. Be surprised how hard that's been for me to find.
You're so beautiful.
Thank you.
Isis lays on the mantle in front of a clock.
Midnight. My favorite time of day.
Jake and Cassie gaze into each other's eyes. They lean in and kiss. They separate, looking at each other. Over the house, the full moon hangs large. Daytime. A group of children dressed up walk the village sidewalks.
Trick or treat!
My pumpkin's my favorite.
Thank you.
The gray house is decorated with pumpkins and strings of lights up the porch columns. A group of children enter through the gate and pause, looking at the house. Their eyes widen, and they walk off, staring at the house. Inside, Cassie paints a scar on Walter's face. He wears a pirate outfit.
Do I really have to wear this?
You need to get into the spirit of things. Get in touch with your inner child.
Her child's about to have a tantrum. And what about you? I mean, what are you gonna wear?
Don't you recognize the gray lady?
She shows off her dress.
Oh, trick-or-treaters, go in for it.
Walter lowers his eye patch and approaches the door.
And remember double treats to anyone brave enough to trick-or-treat at Gray House.
George, a cowboy, Lori, a witch, Brandon, a skeleton.
Trick-or-treat!
I use curly scallywags. Walk you off the plank at the point of me sword, feed you to the sharks. They'll crush your bones into powder and I'll use them as cannon to fodder.
Okay, that's a little too realistic. Come in. Oh, and what are you supposed to be?
A witch.
She insisted.
Don't you know witches aren't very popular around here?
I don't care. I want to be a witch when I grow up.
Oh, my.
Jake's running a little late.
I know who you are. You're the great lady.
Yes, I've come to haunt the party.
They enter the sitting room. The table is full of snacks and beverages.
So did you tell your friends at school? How many do you think will come?
I don't think anybody's gonna come.
Why not?
Well, they wanted to, but their parents wouldn't let them.
I see. Well, I hope you're hungry because we have plenty of treats.
Cassie.
Yes, Lori.
Now that I've gotten rid of the monsters, how do I get rid of the bunnies?
I warned you not to dream about them.
I couldn't help it.
Well, the only way to get rid of dream bunnies is to have them chased by dream puppies.
Puppies?
Wiggling, face-licking puppies.
Oh, no.
I will not dream of puppies. I will not dream of puppies.
Later, at the Gray House, the five of them gather around the living room table.
I'll get it.
Cassie approaches the front door with a bucket of candy. Nancy and a man stand on the porch dressed as a gangster and mall.
Nancy! I heard there was a party.
Yes, come in.
Thank you. Cassie, this is my husband, Bill.
Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I have some incredible news. I'm pregnant. I still can't believe it. We've been trying for so long. We'd given up hope.
So happy for you.
I love you.
I love you too.
They kiss happily. Oh. Cassie fidgets.
Guys.
Oh. Party's that way.
Sorry. Honey, why don't you head on in? Be right there.
Don't be long.
I'll miss you.
Bill steps away.
Did you have anything to do with this? Well, I've been accused of a lot of things, but not getting someone pregnant.
I think maybe your husband was the culprit.
Yeah, but my doctor was so pessimistic.
Oh, well, sometimes it's just a matter of relaxing and letting nature find a way.
So it wasn't magic?
Oh, it's most definitely magic.
Cassie touches Nancy's belly, smiling. Nancy enters the sitting room with a brochure.
How are my pirates?
Hi, George. Here it is, your itinerary for Ireland. It should be quite a trip.
To the cliffs of Moher.
Oh, tiny question. Why did you insist I book you a flight during a full moon?
Better runway visibility.
Martha's two sons walk the sidewalk with clown masks sitting on their heads. They glance around and lowers the masks, nodding at each other. They approach Cassie's shop.
This will show her.
They begin to spray red paint on the glass. A large red splotch covers one window. The other now reads witch in red paint. They dash away into an alley, raise their masks, and smile. Derek pulls up in a cop car. He walks over to the shop window, puts on his uniform cap, and shakes his head. In the alley, they look at the side door of the shop. They toss rocks through the door, then celebrate as Derek turns the corner.
Brace! Stop!
Derek chases after them. They jump the fence. Derek jumps the same fence and chases them. Nighttime. Jake stands on the porch in uniform with Kyle in a football costume.
Trick or treat, weeb.
Kyle! Ah!
You didn't think you could get rid of me that easy.
Thought you two might want to catch up.
Thanks, Dad.
So where's the party?
Oh, in here.
They enter the lounge.
Everyone, this is my friend Kyle. Kyle? This is everyone. Hi.
Hey, Kyle.
Thanks, Brandon.
Brandon pats his shoulder pad.
Nachos.
Cassie approaches Jake.
Jake.
Sorry I'm late.
Where's your costume?
Oh, I'm pretending to be a police chief. I don't think I'm fooling anyone.
Here. I don't need this anymore. And cancel the goat.
Gotcha.
Brandon smiles.
Not the biggest turnout.
Well, at least it's the people that matter the most. I think we need more candles, Jake. Will you help me?
Candles.
They step out of the room. Jake opens a cupboard. He notices a broom leaning against the wall.
Where are they?
There should be some on the top shelf.
These two?
Yeah, those are fine.
He closes the cupboard and approaches Cassie.
Something I have to tell you. Thanks to Martha and her minions. With the city council meeting tomorrow, I mean, let's face it, they're gonna win.
You got friends. We'll stand up for you.
No, that's not enough.
So what are you saying?
I'll have to close the business.
No, Cassie.
I don't have a choice.
Well, what will you do?
Lori approaches unseen.
I'll have to sell Gray House. Sure, the city would make an offer just to get rid of me.
No, you said getting that deed was a good sign.
Well, maybe I misread the sign. Look, I think I have to move on.
No! You can't leave.
Lori.
Just use your powers to change their mind.
I think you have the wrong idea about me.
You're a witch.
Lori. Who says I'm a witch?
You do magic. I don't want you to go.
Well, I don't think I have a choice.
You appear out of nowhere and then disappear just as fast. I need a moment with Cassie. Thank you.
Lori turns and walks out sadly.
Jake, the situation is what it is. I'm just being a realist. You, of all people, should appreciate that.
You've been running so long, you don't know how to stop.
I want to stay. But I'm afraid.
Well, you've got to find some of that courage that you've given to so many of us.
Jake, it's Derek. Over.
Go ahead, Derek.
Cassie's shop's been vandalized. I caught the boys who did it. You better get down here.
I'm on my way.
Jake turns to Cassie. They gaze at each other. Jake and Cassie enter the police station. Martha's sons stand nearby, looking at the floor.
Derek? Michael and Dylan?
Yeah, caught them red-handed. They did a real job on your shop.
Did you call,
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe it. You know how much trouble you two are in?
You're the one who's gonna be in trouble once my dad gets here.
Yeah.
Martha enters.
Oh, you poor things. Sweetie, put in the back of a squad car like common criminals?
That's right, Martha.
Well, what are they doing here?
They're going to be booked, and then they'll go in front of a judge in juvenile court.
You can't do that.
They broke the law. They vandalized Cassie's shop.
The mayor enters.
Tom, do something. Don't let him do this.
No, surely we can work something out.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, for you and your boys.
Now, Jake, stop a minute. Think. You know, and I know what it means if you go through with this.
Yeah, I know what this means. I know exactly what it means. Miss Nightingale didn't do anything wrong. Your boys did. Because someone put in their heads that everyone in this town needs to act the same and look the same, but Cassie's different. And we're all the better for it.
Are you going to let him talk to you that way?
You don't belong here. Just get on your broomstick and get out.
Okay, Derek, put these two in a cell. We need a little quiet time to think about what they've done wrong.
Tom!
Wait a minute. I'm not pressing charges.
No, you don't have to protect me, Cassie.
No, it's about the boys. I don't want their lives ruined over this. Just let them go, Jake. I made up my mind.
You two boys go wait in my car.
Derek escorts the boys out.
Well, none of this would have happened if it weren't for that vile shop of yours. The sooner that we're rid of it, the better.
Martha, this crazy vendetta of yours has turned our two boys into a couple of juvenile delinquents, and it stops here. Miss Nightingale, I'm equally at fault in all of this. I apologize. My boys are going back to your shop and fix the damage.
What?
And fix the damage they've done. Mrs. Tinsdale and I will pay you for any additional damages.
But Tom...
Another word.
Martha looks away.
Thank you.
Tom escorts Martha out. Jake turns to Cassie.
You know, you could be the next mayor. Of course, there is a residency law. You'd have to stick around for a couple years.
I don't want to be the mayor. I just want...
a real home. It's people who love you for who you are. Like me.
You cast quite a spell, Chief Russell.
Does that mean you're staying?
They gaze at each other, smiling. Now, at the shop, George and Tom drill planks to cover the broken door.
That's it. Let's get this stuff
good
done.
Job.
Another extension door.
Brandon carries a bucket to the front, passing the mayor's sons and Walter, who hold mops. A police car pulls up. Cassie gets out of the passenger seat. She and Jake approach the shop.
Well, see, you have some friends in Middleton after all. How's it going?
Oh, I think these boys have a future in renovation.
Walter pats one of them on the shoulder.
We should go in and check out the damage.
Hey, Brandon.
How's it going, Dad?
Good.
They enter the shop. They notice broken glass on the floor.
Well, it doesn't look so bad.
They step over the glass. Jake crouches and begins to lift a piece of glass.
Oh, Jake, don't handle broken glass.
Right. You'll be a broom.
He notices a broom in the corner.
That broom? How did that get here?
Somebody must have brought it.
No, the door was locked. And you haven't been here since then, so...
Sure, there's a perfectly logical explanation.
Sure looks like a witch's broom.
Yeah, what are you implying?
You're not a witch, are you?
Silly.
They kiss, wrapping their hands around each other. Cassie grins as they embrace. She opens her eyes.